Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please tell everyone who is joining us.
She's an actor and comedian. You know her from the amazing Gail Pyle, the film Cosmopolis, The Second City, and UCB. It's Anessa Frantowski.
Yay. Oh, hello.
Hello and welcome.
The deep breathing. Hello.
Oh, we love it.
We love a big, happy breath. Anessa, are you a fan of like a celebrity tell-all? Like, do you read? Have you ever read a celebrity tell-all?
I mean, I am, for sure. I think I read biographies more than anything.
Really?
Of like comedians and celebrities, and yeah, I think I like that. I mean, I did a lot of reading in college and less after.
Wow,
now it's mainly okay. Biographies and self-help books.
Do you have any like favorite like celeb like bios?
I really liked Susie Orman's book.
Sure.
She's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Combined best of worlds.
Yeah, you know, your classics, your Tina Fey, you know, pretty much
a bossy
any.
Pants. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I did just read Jessica Simpson's memoir last summer.
I've heard that's good.
It is good.
I heard it was good too. I want to read it.
You should read it. It was she's very open and she doesn't take herself too seriously.
Smart.
Yes. Yes, and I wanted to read Demi Moore's, but I haven't yet.
Oh, well, you got to get, I got a Kindle, and like, get it from the library. It's free. It just gets sent to your Kindle. You just got to wait.
I can't read on the screen.
I know, but for like a celebrity tell-all, like I could just burn through it, like that's fine.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair
really
enough, because I do, I read. Yeah, that's
true. It's not
true.
Grapes of Wrath. You know, I don't need like keep this on my shelf for posterity or anything.
Do I put notes in the margin anywhere?
Just no. The best celeb I've ever, it was the audiobook though, was Rob Lowe's. And his is very funny because there's so many moments where he'll be like telling an anecdote about the one I always remember is like, he meets this girl in like a surf shop in Venice, a taco shop. And like, he describes her as a girl in a big floppy hat. And then at the end, he'll be like, and that girl in the big floppy hat was Daryl Hannah. It's like all stories like that, which I love the reveal of like, oh, that person you thought was weird, that's Ian McKellen. You know what I mean? It's like, it was very funny, like repeating thing he did multiple times.
What a great observation. You're right. What a fun, to have chance encounters like with future celebs.
Future celeb before nobody knew.
Oh. But it makes me want to be a girl in a floppy hat. You know,
you
just
can.
In case.
You
right?
I never know.
You are, I think you I already did. Are. You don't know that it's happened yet.
I have worn That's a floppy true. Hat. I did have like, I had a J in the J-Lo phase. I did have a big floppy hat that I
sure.
lost that I still think about. Yeah.
I have a big floppy hat that I wear.
Yeah.
Well, John's afraid of the sun.
It's my enemy. I'm far too pale.
I understand. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, speaking of pale and white faces with bold red lips, maybe too soon, but I saw an opportunity.
Let's do it.
Today, we're talking about Mommy Dearest. John, what's the deal with Mommy Dearest?
Mark, let me tell you the deal about Mommy Dearest. It was directed by Frank Perry, adapted for the screen by Robert Getchell, Tracy Hotchner, and Frank Perry and Frank Yablans from the book of the same name by Christina Crawford. And the film depicts the abusive and traumatic adoptive upbringing of Christina Crawford at the hands of her mother, screen legend Joan Crawford. Faye Dunaway is Joan Crawford, and Mara Hobble and Diana Scarwid play young and adult Christina Crawford. The film also stars Ritanya Alda, Jocelyn Brando, Steve Forrest, Howard Da Silva, and Harry Goz. The film was released on September 18th, 1981, and actually was a commercial success, grossing $39 million off a budget of $5 million. Roger Ebert's one-star review opened with, "I can't imagine who would want to subject themselves to this movie," calling it unremittedly depressing, not to any purpose of drama or entertainment, but just too depressed. And Variety said, "Dunaway does not choose scenery. Dunaway starts neatly at each corner of the set in every scene and swallows it whole, co-stars and all." It won 5 Golden Raspberry Awards, including Worst Picture, Worst Actress for Dunaway, Worst Supporting Actress for Worst Supporting Actor for Steve Forrest, Worst Supporting Actress for Diana Scarwid, and Worst Screenplay. And in 1990, it won the Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Picture of the Decade. And that is the deal with Mommy Dearest.
Wow. If you could have seen Anessa's face when you were recounting Ebert's review, the gasps, the pearl clutching. Anessa, we asked you to pick a movie. Why Mommy Dearest?
You know, I have vague memories of it from childhood, like mostly the iconic scene. So I wanted to revisit it. But also too, you know, my grandmother has a bit of a Joan Crawford vibe, big eyebrow lady. I was instructed as a girl to keep my eyebrows, not to give into the overplucking trend, keep my brows, you know. so I wanted to check it out again.
And is it like a favorite of you? Do you think it like holds up? Do you think it's like,
oh, I feel like a lot of my ability to have a dramatic meltdown comes from that movie. Like, I think that's the first meltdown I ever saw, you know?
As an actor or as a person?
As a person, as a child, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh, this is what it feels like to like feel things.
Yes, I was like, oh, I didn't know I was allowed to react this way.
I didn't know the heights went that high. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
My emotions could be the most important thing happening right now.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like you're a big fan of this movie.
I think this movie's outrageous. I think it's astounding. I actually, honestly though, like I really like, I feel like I have to figure out the climate of the time that it was so pan like this, because I think it's an amazing performance. I think like, if like, you know, if you took, maybe because it's sort of like disparaging to Joan Crawford, but if you just took this as a performance of a woman, I mean, this is an epic performance. And I think if you added, maybe if there was like one or two, if it was edited slightly differently or one or two more scenes that humanized her, she could have won an Oscar for this, I think. Well, if you compare how well received Feud was, let's say.
Thank you.
You know, but it's like, can you say that this isn't a great performance? It doesn't matter if you think it's realistic or not, or to how it actually happened. You know,
right? It's definitely unforgettable.
Yeah,
it's committed, that's for sure.
But also, there's going through like, this is one of the worst movies of the, you know, it won Best Picture that year, Chariots of Fire, which nobody gives a shit about now. We're still talking about Mommy Dearest.
Absolutely.
So the impact, the cultural impact, who gets the last laugh in the end? Mommy Dearest.
Yeah, exactly. If you call it like kind of a melodrama, then it's like, great. It makes total sense. Yeah.
Right.
Sure. So John, what's your, what baggage you bring into Mommy Dearest? What do you think?
I mean, like most homosexuals of a certain age, I have seen this movie on several occasions. I'm not sure how many times I've actually sat down and watched it like from start to finish, as opposed to like treating myself to highlights every now and again. So this might have been my third time seeing it all the way through. I mean, yes, I agree with what you're saying. I think, Yeah, I think part of Faye Dunaway, I think, just as an actress, she can't play warmth at all. I just think that is something that she is incapable of doing as an actress. And so I think that this movie sort of highlights that. Like, I think even those scenes where she's trying to have like a sweet, warm connection with her daughter, it does not come through at all. It still seems it's like very weird and calculated. And I also think among the script's many faults, one of them is I think that it does not work as like a cohesive narrative. It's just like a collection of vignettes.
Yes, you know what I mean?
So that's why is. In some ways it doesn't satisfy as a full story, because it's just like, oh, now she's dead. Oh, and now there's the night that she went crazy in the Rose Garden. Here's the night that she went crazy with this. It doesn't actually as a story come together in a satisfying way. And I think that's part of why like its other faults are so glaring, because there's nothing else to sort of anchor it or to even give Faye Dunaway more to do other than just be like, here's all the times she went crazy.
Yes.
But it is indeed an unforgettable go for broke performance. How about you, Mark? What is your history with Mommy Dearest?
I mean, I feel like this one is like used to be on HBO a lot, because I remember I've seen clips of it. I would always start watching it and then watch it to the end. Like I can't remember the first time I've seen it, because it's just always been in my life, I feel like, maybe. I don't know. So I've seen it multiple times. And of course, the iconic scene's amazing. I don't know. I feel like, yeah, if you're watching Mommy Dearest for the story, you're making a big mistake. Because I feel like the grand takeaway of this movie is like, it's one of the most watchable movies you've ever seen. Like it's 2 hours and 6 minutes or 8 minutes, but it flies by. I think what you're seeing is so wild and unhinged, and at times it is like grotesque at times. It's like legitimately scary at times, but it's also like truly funny. And it's just, you don't know how, it's like also the sets are beautiful. The clothes are beautiful. I think it's like such like a watchable, fun movie. That is it accurate? No, but I'm not watching a movie for accuracy. You know what I mean? It's a movie. Entertain me. If I want accuracy, I'll go to the library.
Yes.
So I think it's an undeniably entertaining, essential movie, I would say. If you don't know Mommy Dearest, there's a big hole in your heart.
Yeah.
I don't know if the hole's in your heart, but there's a hole.
It's definitely in your heart.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's just a collection of memories. Like, I would say that if you took my 5 to 7 worst breakdowns in my lifetime and strung them all together, it wouldn't be a flattering portrayal. So it is a little bit like that. But honestly, like, again, yeah, I see it kind of more like, if it is like kind of like a farce or a melodrama, or if it is like speaking on like somebody who didn't know how to not perform.
Yes,
you know, like the tortured soul of having to always perform to succeed or whatever, that aspect of it. It's like, that's the thing that like, there is that moment too, where she's breaking up with the lover and she switches tactics like 7 times, you know, like first she's angry, then she's demure, then it's the ultimate drama queen, really.
It's like the back of her headshot with 4 different looks.
Yeah.
It should be every acting level 1 class to be like, here's how to switch your intention.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, like, because she's a, you know, that's her job, right? You know, she's good at it. Yeah.
So I think it holds up great. I mean, did it ever hold up? No. But are you going to watch it and have a good time? Yes, absolutely. So Anessa, as you may or may not know, but I think you do because I told you, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge these movies. So we're going to go through a ton of categories.
Love it.
So you'll see. And at one point, you are going to add a category and it will be added to the wheel. What does that mean? It doesn't matter. It'll make sense as we go along. All right. So this is our current top 5 gayest movies ever. This is the current standings.
Ooh.
Top 5. So number 5 with an 83%, Clue. Number 4 with an 85.19%, The Lost Boys. Number 3 with an 86.92%, Death Becomes Her. Number 2 with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number 1 with a 94.83%, Female Trouble. So if you had to guess, where do you think Mommy Dearest is going to end up? Have any hopes and dreams for a score?
I feel like, you know, I would love an A, but I feel like around a 75.
A 75, a conservative 75.
Fair enough. Setting expectations
it might do
low.
A little better than that, I would guess. But we'll see. So the first group of categories are the canon categories. And for these, we're going to each score them on a scale of 0 to 100. And we take the average of all three of our scores. Okay. All right. So the first category, Anessa, how would you score Mommy Dearest on a scale of 1, 0 to 100 in actual gay characters? Now, the only one I noticed was the funeral director, who did say, I painted her from a personally autographed photo. I was like, okay, enough said.
There's
so
that.
He's the only one I really like noticed.
There was also when they were doing the apartment with the Pepsi guy. There was one decorator who was wearing lots of different patterns.
A white coat.
So I was like, probably.
That's fair.
I know that Joan Crawford allegedly had a one-night stand with Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, I mean, okay. Who could blame her?
Yes, I mean, who could blame her? I mean,
who could blame either of them, really?
Right? So is this the story? I never heard that. I'm Sean. Crawford was a bisexual, according to Mercury News, my hometown paper.
Wow, they always have the scoop.
Her female conquests included other similarly fluid stars such as Greta Garbo, Marlena Dietrich, Barbara Stanwyck, and later Marilyn Monroe.
Excuse
but I would say
me?
As a movie, she is not presented as a gay character.
No.
You know what I mean?
Certainly.
No, but I also think Faye Dunaway as an actress, again, like does not seem to have any sort of sexuality about her whatsoever. Like she just seems so just like ambitious and driven that I don't even see her being like tender with men. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think she ever has that sort of vulnerability.
She's a power top, John.
That's true. She is.
That's what looks like.
Huh. That's a okay. Power well top then, action. I got to work on my brows.
You got to Google.
Yeah. And you know what? She wasn't allowed to be.
Thank you.
Had to be strong.
It was crazy when her like adoption was denied.
Yes.
Like she's a millionaire, like an actress with like a staff of servants. What more
divorced
does this woman
twice?
Need to do?
Yeah exactly. Right.
Divorced.
Yeah, but I think then there were those absurd standards. I mean, not absurd, totally absurd, but like there were certain standards that were perhaps misplaced of like, well, you're not in a stable relationship and children need this kind of home and which of course is absurd when you think about like, yeah, she has all these resources and also like a child is probably better adopted than being in an orphanage.
Yeah, I'm sure living in that time, I would be livid about so many things, you know?
Right. Just constantly outraged. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would
unlike
be,
today.
I know. But even
unless
more
just,
so.
And like you know? A lobster in a pot though, are there any lobsters who are like going, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Why are we like, I know this has been my entire existence, but come on guys, this is dumb.
There's
right,
gotta be more.
Yeah,
we just accept this.
Exactly.
We got a long way away. So what do you want to give okay. Mommy Dearest for actual gay characters? You do not have to go first if you don't want to.
Okay, so we're gonna say it was like two potential supporting characters and we're not counting the real life.
Well, I just don't think the movie version, because I don't even consider this movie real life. You know what I mean? There are obviously moments of things that actually did happen, but.
Right.
Well, then I guess I have to say what? Like 25?
25.
You know?
Between those, I also imagine that the group of fans that are hanging outside of her house when on the Oscars where she doesn't go, you got to admit some of those guys are probably pillow biters, which was probably the term that was used at the time. But I'll still think it's like very low. There's no actual main character who is. So I'll go 10.
10. I'm going to go 14, giving an average of 16.33, which is 1.33 points higher than The Shining.
Okay.
All right, not bad.
Yeah.
Strong start.
Yeah.
I think you're going to make a lot of points up here with this next category.
Okay.
What are you going to give Mommy Dearest for? Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Mommy Dearest and come away with a whole book of ideas?
A 100.
I mean, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely 100. I've done the white cream look before for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's also like she is doing, like when you watch like on Drag Race, the acting challenges, this is they're doing.
Absolutely. Exactly.
You know, it's all pranked.
It's what I'm doing right now.
This is self-help. Mommy Dearest is self-help.
Yeah, I mean, from like the acting choices, the wardrobe, the eyebrows alone. I mean, yeah, you got to go 100. It's iconic.
It's iconic. I'm also going to go 100. I mean, it's 100. I mean, this is the highest scoring we've gotten in drag queen inspiration in the last 20 movies.
Wow.
So, I mean, the next one is 99.33 for Bride of Frankenstein, which was last week's.
I'm still thinking about that silver dress and that plate of prime rib.
Yes.
What a combo. They just, was that lame? Would you say that was lame, that silver dress?
I thought it was a sequin, but it might have been sequin and lame on the shoulder. But yeah.
They just did lame on Drag Race. And I was like, why isn't everything lame? Why are we doing lame every week? It just, it looks great on TV.
Yeah.
It's hard on the eye for all the time. Come on. You need a rest for lame.
I thought it was fun.
A pop of lame, of course, always, but constantly a steady parade of it, you get tired.
I would love a steady parade of lame. Speaking of, what would you give our next category? Mommy Dearest on a scale of gay icons. Well, we got Joan Crawford.
Yes.
I mean, it's like an icon. I mean, like, but also like Faye Dunaway as Joan Crawford is like another Joan Crawford.
It's its own beast.
Yes. And then Faye Dunaway on her own has her own vibe as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that could be three icons, technically.
Yes. It's almost like two icons came together to form like a third Uber icon.
It's the Voltron of gay icons.
Yeah.
Or yes. It's like
two identities become a new second identity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is pretty. I mean, the character of Joan Crawford in the movie Mommy Dearest is a gay icon.
Yeah,
maybe more so than the greater than the sum of its parts, would we say?
Wow, maybe.
I mean, I would say probably more people know of Joan Crawford from Mommy Dearest than from her movies,
which is a shame.
It is a shame. Not that like people should go out and check out Trog or Johnny Guitar, but you know.
They should check out Trog. Trog is a fun time at the movies. It's sure. on the Criterion Collection.
But Trog does not deserve Joan Crawford.
I mean, but it's lucky enough to have her.
Yeah.
You could say that Joan Crawford is famous and then Mommy Dearest made her infamous.
There,
yes. Indeed, one could say that.
Well said.
Thank
and are you.
You
saying that? Are you saying that?
I might say that.
Okay, we're gonna put you down. So what do you want to give Mommy Dearest for gay icons?
I mean, I know what, I'm gonna go 100 again.
Yeah, 100. I'm also going 100. I think there's really no arguing against it.
No, I'm also gonna go 100. Giving it 100, another all-timer. Trouncing Midsommar, which only has a 5. All right, our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form? The only thing is like Frank in the shower, really.
Yeah, a little bit. But his towel is like very high up on his waist.
I mean, it was the time. It was
I understand.
81.
They had the fight and the drink on the chest and the the little tear in his eye before he leaves. Mm-hmm. He leaves her for real. I mean, is that a male gaze?
He is.
I mean, well, he's like, a man and he's looking, sure.
He's a man and he's looking.
It's a literal gaze. Is that what you meant?
No. There's like the army guys when she's like at the birthday party. What is like the Easter Sunday party? You know that?
Oh, the one of the first
with the grass
party?
Stain on the dress. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's surrounded by like four army guys. They were cute. That's all sure. I'm saying.
Yeah, but I don't think Faye Dunaway let anybody upstage her in any way. And so I mean, I think
never
in that
and
way.
Ever and always to this day, you know. And isn't it sad that ultimately she's upstaged by herself in a way? Like she's the one making herself diminished because of her own ego.
Wow.
She's in the way. She's her own worst enemy.
You mean Faye Dunaway or Joan Crawford?
Faye Dunaway.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So what would you give for Mommy Dearest for the male gaze, Anessa?
It seems like this is low, right?
Yeah, it's not full of like sexy dudes or
there's not a lot of eye candy or anything.
Not a lot,
Okay, so you're not talking about actual gay characters. You're talking about just men who are eye candy.
How are like, do men look good? Are they shot well?
Okay, then in that case, I'm going to give it 30%.
30.
Yeah, I don't think there's much of anything. I'm going to go 15.
I don't know. I'll give it a 20. Giving a 21.67. It's all for that shower and those army men. Tying it with fried green tomatoes.
Okay. Okay. Young Chris O'Donnell.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Our next category. This one also might do well for you. Entrances with pizzazz.
Right away. The opening shot. The opening when she spins around looking at the mirror.
Yes.
We've only seen pieces of her up until that point. Yeah. Always shot from behind.
Tease. And now here we go, boys.
Let's go.
I really wish we got to see her ice skate, though, because she was doing like the Ice Follies or something like that.
The Ice Follies of 1939. You've never seen that movie, John?
I haven't.
Neither have I. I don't think anybody has.
Man, you know, you had to work in Hollywood that day. You had to sing, dance, ice skate. You had to do it all. Yeah. Yeah, definitely a lot of dramatic entry. I mean, I'm going to go high on this one, too. Probably.
There's also the one almost like a dramatic exit, like after her adoption is turned down.
Mm-hmm.
She does that great, like, stop, turn to the camera.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And at the boarding school as well.
Yes. Yeah. So what do you think for entrances with pizzazz?
I'm gonna give this I'll give that a 90 or something.
A 90?
Yeah, because I feel like maybe if there's something like, you know, if you were coming out of a swimming pool, or I'm sure there's some entrances that could be more epic.
Sure.
You know, so right. I'll say 90.
90, all right.
I think with the exception of like the opening, there's not a lot of really like pizzazzy entrances. Like there's a lot of like ominous entrances and a lot of stuff like that. I'm going to go, but that opening is pretty great. I'll go 73.
Okay. 73. I'm going to go 70. I'm being crueler than you. Giving it a 77.67. All right. This next category, I think you're going to do real well here. How would you rate Mommy Dearest on strident women?
Okay, what does that word mean?
Strident usually means like overbearing, sort of intense, a little shrill. Okay. Oftentimes it's not a compliment.
Yeah
but it's, we also tend to mean it in our a lot of times is like a woman who's strong and is not going to take any guff,
sticks but up like, for herself, you know.
Yeah but truly the true definition is kind of like irritating.
Yeah,
overbearing.
Well, I'd say she's pretty overbearing. It's a bit much.
You would say Joan Crawford is a bit much in this movie.
Yeah, enough already sometimes.
There was also the woman who caught Christina making out with a boyfriend and goes, I'm going to tell everybody.
Yes. And
she
also
was like, wild.
The headmistress, Priscilla Pointer, of that account. Yes. She's very strident.
This is our third Priscilla Pointer movie.
I know. We love her.
Yes. It's interesting to see a woman that's more strict than Joan Crawford in
who's
that
not going to budge.
Yeah. Okay. So that's going to be 100 for me.
100.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Even if everyone was sweet besides Joan Crawford, it would still be 100. But there's even more. Yes. So, but yes.
Yeah.
I'm also going to give it 100. Tying it with Terms of Endearment. Wow.
Okay.
That's about 82 points higher than Air Bud.
Thank goodness.
You had your sights set on Air Bud. All right. Our next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate Mommy Dearest on Macabre? How macabre is it? Ooh. I think it's pretty macabre.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty macabre.
I mean, chopping your kids' hair just because they were pretending to be you?
Oh. Get me the axe.
Bring me the axe.
Christina.
And like the cold cream on the, there's just like the look for the no wire hanger scene is just insane. Like that's not real. Yeah.
Why would you do, because cold cream I thought was like to remove makeup. So why would you leave the lipstick on?
Well, that's good for the point. Shot. You know how you were saying, you're not good. It's not accuracy. That's for the look.
Right. I was just wondering if that was part of a process. I see. It made her look like the Joker.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is better than the Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
100%.
And it's the same movie, essentially. Someone's sick of society telling them what to do. She's at it.
Well, that a lot of beauty routines in this movie had me questioning what I was doing. She's doing a deep scrub and that bowl of ice and those
scrubbing
scenes
of
with the
nails,
elastics,
those bands. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of like introduce her as like a monster. Like, what is she? You know what I mean? You're like, the first time you see her, like she's in bed, she's weird. And like, she's really intense scrub, like seemingly like torturing herself in her like morning routine. Yes.
Wouldn't you love to know what like Joan Crawford would be like as a Real Housewife? Like what kind of like plastic surgery would she have like subjected herself to?
She might just be drunk all the time. I mean, that's a Real Housewife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She'd be great on it, actually.
She'd be great.
The original Real Housewives of Hollywood, her, Betty Davis. Let's do this.
I mean, now that's an idea.
Also, when Joan, like, they have that knockdown, drag out fight, and like Joan is like choking Christina, that's genuinely upsetting, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think taking over your daughter's role on a soap opera, that's pretty crazy.
Is that
macabre
or inspired?
I say both.
What simply had to be done.
It'd be one thing.
The show had to go on.
Absolutely.
If it was like, there's a way to do that where it's like fun. You know what I mean? Where it feels like a treat for everybody.
Right. But I feel like that would require a sense of humor about Joan Crawford, which I don't think
Christina has.
True. But I don't think Joan had it either, in her defense.
That's true. Well, a lot of her co-stars did come out and say like this book was highly inaccurate. Like a lot of her friends have said.
But I heard a lot that they all came out and said it was accurate.
No, the younger two twins, which would make sense. The first two are in agreement, Christina and her brother. And then 8 years later, she adopted the twins, who said their upbringing was firm, but not abusive. So I think probably, you know, it's
somewhere
probably like,
middle.
She probably also too grew up as a mom a little bit more, you know, like when I'm one of four, we're all spread apart. And maybe my experience with my sister different than my brothers, who had it easy. Right. The youngest is like 15 years younger than my oldest sister, so big gap. So they got older parents, we got young parents, you know.
Yeah. I also heard that those two, the latter two aren't actually twins. He just adopted at the same time, and for PR, twins.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But and I also imagine that like in the time that she was when Christina and Christopher, is that his name? Were younger, that she was like still fighting to be like a leading, like she was like more neurotic about her career, you know what I mean? And so like, I don't know. So I imagine like it makes sense that she was like more insane and they had more to deal with her general insanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think Mommy Dearest is 100% accurate? Is that what I'm hearing, John?
No, but I think I don't think it's a total lie either. There's been as many people who've come forward and say they've witnessed scenes that were similar to what was depicted in the book than those who have talked against it.
And it's her story. It's the daughter's story, so it's her perspective.
True.
So if that's how she experienced it, then that's like, I think she was a little bit unhappy with how the movie was made as well. So, but I guess
I can't imagine why.
Yes. Yes, but I think her, but the book is, you know, her story, right? So, you know, people see things differently.
This is true. Hello, Rashomon. So what do you want to give this for macabre?
For macabre, I'm going to say 100. It's pretty scary sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100. Yeah, I'm going to go 99 because, there's always a sense of danger. Like, there's never a sense of like, oh, this is a sweet moment.
Yes.
Right. I'm gonna give it 100 too. Also, there's something macabre about like celebrity tell all over like your parents is like something like like public revenge or something, you know. But I mean, that's how they live their lives. That's the arena. All right, next category: dramatic lighting. How would you rate the dramatic lighting in Mommy Dearest? A lot of Safa, a lot of Morticia Adams eye light.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also the open casket light. Does everybody get that nice blue spotlight on their face? Behind the Golden Girls drapes?
That's got to be in her contract.
She had a writer for her funeral?
She had a death contract.
Yeah.
They did a lot of like film noir, like lighting just across like a portion of the face.
Yes.
And then of course the lighting on the wire hangers. Cream scene.
The cream scene. Classic cream.
Yeah.
Cream lighting.
It is mostly like a 19, looks like an early 80s, you know, it's very soft focus.
Yeah.
But it does have its moments where it really has an impact.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So what do you want to give it?
I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm going to give that an 80.
80.
That's yeah. what I was going to say. I was going to say 80.
Yay. Oh, good.
80. I'm going to give it a 70 because there are those moments, but not enough. All right, this will also probably be a good category for you. Vibrato. How vibrato is this?
So in addition to literal vibrato, we mean anytime they take a moment and give it extra. Like, so you sort of zhuzh it up, give you more than you need, but you like it.
Okay.
The entire movie.
The entire movie. The way she speaks all the time, like the way they spoke in movies at that time.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But all the time she talks like that.
Why can't you give me the respect?
Watching it this time, I was
so
like,
fast, Missy.
A little affected.
Yeah, a little affected, big time.
This was the first time I was like, oh, you can almost like draw a line from this to Elizabeth Berkley and Showgirls, just in terms of like intensity. It's always at 11. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, like, are these just the takes they chose? Were there other takes where she was like reined it in, or like? Because Faye Dunaway claims like the director pushed her like this hard every time, which if so, great. It works. You made a classic.
Yeah.
My gut tells me that that's just her hoisting blame. She seems like someone who will only do what she wants to do and is not going to take direction.
Well, apparently when she did her scenes, she made everyone turn their back to her. She couldn't,
if they weren't in the
shot, didn't
want
anyone watching her act.
Yeah, like, I really do think, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel she put her real heart and soul into it. Like, I feel it. You know what I mean? And I think, again, there is another world where this could be, like, you know, I don't know. I found it very moving. I really did.
It's understandable.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, again, that's what, the rumors are that, you know, I feel like she was going method acting for this. I feel like she was
a method actor. She's from that crew.
Yeah. So I'm sure it would have been, that's a tough scene to do, I have to say.
Someone once pointed out, though, method actors like, you know, Jared Leto, the Joker, and all that. And, you know, they're always like method when they're assholes, but no one's ever method when they're playing like Mr. Rogers and like it's in the kind,
sweet,
you know,
nice person.
No one's, they're always method when they're a complete shithead.
Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah, it's absolutely, and it's sort of like, I always like when you see, I think there was there another one? Was it Jim Carrey when he was doing—
Probably.
Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon or whatever. And then I think they like cut to someone. There was like a behind the scenes or whatever. And he was just like, he was like, you know, Andy Kaufman was really nice to everyone in the crew. Wasn't always pranking them. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe to show that side.
Well, that's something that the actress who played Carol Ann, she actually wrote a tell-all book, the assistant, about filming Mommy Dearest. And she said that Faye Dunaway was a monster. Whereas like Joan Crawford was like known to like, yes, she was demanding stuff, but like she was sweet and she was like, she would like sort of, you know, sort of like be kind in the way she got her way and stuff like that. But like Faye Dunaway is a notorious monster to work with. You know what I mean? It's not just this movie like that ruined her career. She has been known to be impossible.
Well, she followed this up with Supergirl. So I don't know where she went wrong. That didn't
That was her follow-up? She went from this to Supergirl?
What an arc.
Network. Well, Mommy Dearest, Supergirl. I'm done. Thank you, Hollywood.
I mean, she is brilliant in Network.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, apparently she won the role by dressing up as Joan Crawford and then going to, I guess,
the director's house.
Chilling.
Yeah, she looks great. She looks just like her.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, what do you want to give this for vibrato?
I've got to give it 100.
100.
Yeah, I think this is the definition of 100.
Absolutely. Giving it 100, tying it with Edward Scissorhands. Okay, that kind of makes sense. If only those two met, Edward Scissorhands and Mommy Dearest.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fun combo.
Christina's hair would have got cut a lot faster.
Right? A bit more artistic.
Yeah, it would have had a funkier do, big
like
time.
A wedge or something. All right, our next category. How are you going to rate Mommy Dearest on a scale of 0 to 100 in footwork? The only thing I wrote down for this is like her, when she's jogging, she's doing this weird punching as she jogs. It's like, what is that?
Right.
Oh, yeah. And again, sweat, so much sweat in that full face of makeup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. awful.
That, like, that with Carol Ann driving beside her.
Nobody, no people should know what you do for them or something.
Yes. Oh, the injustice of it all. But I gotta say, I actually would have loved, I agree with John that I would have loved to see that figure skating. I thought it was such a tease to get the lace up of the boot. A lot of, you know, slow dramatic walks upstairs, shoulders. Alluring and mm-hmm. shoulders and stuff. But again, that's more upper body. If it's footwork is the category.
Yes, footwork is the category.
It's technically footwork. So I actually think this is a missed opportunity. Yeah. Yeah. Mister, it could have been more footwork, but I'll give the walking.
Especially since Joan Crawford was a dancer. That's how she started.
She was a dancer. And mm-hmm. to show her hustle and how she had to do all these things and kept, you know, like, mm-hmm. I think this missed opportunity. I'm going to say 50.
50.
I'll go 20 because I really don't think there's much of it at all.
Well, there is the swimming. You got to use your feet for swimming.
Okay. You gotta kick. That's true. There's us in with swimming. So there's my 20.
For that weird punching, I'm going to give it a 30. Because that's so strange. Given an average of 33.33, which is 5 points lower than last holiday. That's got to be devastating. But 10 points higher than Pieces of April. Okay. All right, the next category. This one might be tougher. Are you going to rate Mommy Dearest on animal print? Did we clock any animal print?
Ooh, wow, that's a shame if we didn't.
I don't even think, were there any furs, really? Not
there were
really,
a couple of furs. There's like
black
a fur
hat at the Pepsi scene.
There was that. There
the
was
hat
a fur
and
coat
the
like
scene.
Strewn on a couch at one point.
Sure.
But it's, yeah, considering how many costumes they had and how like wonderful and delightful they were, it's surprising.
The one shot that really made me laugh, just talking about Strewn, is when Christina discovers Joan drunk on weird chase cloud lounge, face down, but like her one foot is up behind her on the couch. Just like, how did she end up in that? She looks like she was dropped from a helicopter.
I wouldn't be surprised. Right. They were running out of money. So I'm gonna give the fur hat, it's pretty good, that boardroom scene, that's another one where she's
true,
really
right.
laying down the law,
she's amazing.
And I'm sure there's something else, a throw, a rug, a fur that I'm missing. So I'm gonna give it a 30.
I'll go 20.
I'm gonna go 8.
Wow,
because there's just that one hat to me. Yeah. Giving it a 19.33, which is 10 points higher than Die Hard. Hey, that's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds right. Yeah. Come on.
All right. This is the last category in the canon categories. Anessa, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Mommy Dearest to a gay person?
100.
I mean, would you recommend the Bible to a Christian?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you haven't seen it, you got to see it. It's 100.
It's an essential text, I would say. Yeah. I'm also giving it 100. Giving it 100, tying it with The Lost Boys.
Which I'd also give 100. Big time.
Thank you.
Big time.
All right. So that is it for the canon categories. And now we are onto the wheel.
So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in. We've put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So we're going to spin it 4 times. And whatever category randomly pops up, we're going to judge the movie off that. And then after that, you will add a category, which will be put to the wheel.
Okay.
For future movies. It's spinning. That's the sound of clicking the Wheel of Fortune.
Okay, here we go. Potential to be a musical.
I mean, I think huge, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, especially almost like the vignette-y structure helps that, I would think.
I think the emotional heights are really what help it, because like with the musical, you want to sing about the big moments. I mean, honestly, like, I mean, if I was going to be a real
bitch
about it.
All right, Joan, in this scene, you're outraged. All right, and then this next scene, you're outraged. And in this song, you're outraged.
Yeah, if I was going to be a real bitch about it, I'd say it's more of an opera than a musical, but yeah.
Is an opera not a musical?
Operas tend to be just grander in scale and typically don't have any speaking whatsoever. Like it's
so
all
they're better.
Well, that is a subjective call on your part.
I think there was like an off-Broadway version of it made.
I don't know. Maybe I haven't heard of it. It seemed, I mean, it's something that like drag queens, it's like, it's ripe for that. I think it's, I think you definitely
Broadway at Birdland presents Mommy Dearest the Musical in June of 2019.
Oh, well, there you go.
Wow.
Do you know? Well, yeah, in concert.
So it is a musical. There we go. It is officially a musical. So there you go. Yeah. Well, that settles that.
Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for potential to be a musical?
Well, I have to say, since there is an actual musical, we have to give it 100.
100.
It's been made into a musical.
It happened.
Yes.
Potential realized. Yes.
Potential realized, Mommy Dearest. Congratulations. All right. Musical potential was from, I don't know. That's a different spreadsheet.
Okay, here we go. Wigs.
Wigs. How would you rate Mommy Dearest and wigs?
We had a lot of different hairstyles. Can I confirm that there were hair pieces or wigs involved? But there was a lot of hair. There was definitely a lot of hair looks.
Yeah.
Apparently she used Goldie Hawn's hairstylist from Private Benjamin.
Really?
That was the fun fact I learned today.
I mean, I hope young Christina was wearing a wig because her hair looked insane. It looked like this is a wig from a very small-headed 40-year-old woman we're going to put on this child.
Even like teenage Christina's hair was like so like it was like a swim cap. It was so like tight. It was so like it just felt like so much tension.
Round. It was very round.
It was very round.
Yeah, it definitely that looked like a wig. That looked like a a sketch comedy wig that I would love.
If anyone has one of those wigs lying around.
But I think for Joan, for the most part, was like her real hair. It looked like
they had sometimes like the bangs, sometimes that one that goes.
Oh,
up
when she shows up at Christina's apartment, that thing, the late 60s look.
Yeah, and then the round one, kind of when she's in bed with the bandana, was like. And then there were some of those kinds of 40s-esque updo hairstyles.
Yeah.
A lot of hair.
They're definitely using hair pieces in all of that. I can't imagine that they're gonna have her sit in the chair for hours to get all those looks.
Yeah. I'm going to say, we got a lot of wigs, but they're all basically like her regular hair color and meant to kind of look.
They're like passing for real. They're not like Edward Scissorhands or something crazy.
Exactly. So in that case, I'm going to go ahead and give it a 70.
70.
I'm going to go 81.
81. I'm going to go 50. Yes, there are some, but to me, it's not, it's not a massive wig. I'm not coming to Mommy Dearest for the wigs.
There we go.
Giving an average of 67.
Okay.
Wigs is from our How the Grinch Stole Christmas episode with Olivia Snow Norman.
Okay, not going to do well here. How Korean?
How Korean is it from our...
I'm not even going to make Parasite, a case for this one. I don't think anything's Korean about it. I'm going to give it a big old zero.
Do better, Mommy Dearest.
Yeah,
I think... I just want to make sure. Like, in any of the scenes, is any of the party scenes and any of the... I'm going to give it a one just in case. Just a one.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm gonna give this. I mean, is there even a person of color in this movie?
Maybe not.
I mean, it was Hollywood in the 30s. Right.
Certainly not in the board of directors at the Pepsi Company.
No. I'll tell you that.
All right, giving it a 0.33.
What's that tied with?
I don't have that number at my fingertips, unfortunately. All right, wheel category number 4.
Okay, here we go. Melodramatic monologue.
I have to say, I'm going to actually go out on a limb here and say that I think this movie needed one more dramatic monologue. I wanted to hear more about her point of view and why she was
like the
way
why,
she was.
What's motivating all of this? Where is this behavior coming from?
Absolutely.
Like the neatness felt like, was she like trapped in a toilet or something at one point? Why is she so like, why does she feel dirty all the time? I wanted to know.
Big question.
Why do you feel like you're, is it maybe the bisexuality? I wonder, but she acted on it. But even though you act on it, doesn't mean you don't feel shame.
Well, apparently.
Is that what she felt maybe? I don't know.
Allegedly, her family, her mother worked in a dry cleaner, and she hated being reminded of kind of her being in poverty.
Yeah, she came from poor upbringing.
Yeah,
that can't be. I mean, that's a trauma in and of itself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah. It just would have been, you know, it feels like a missed opportunity to acknowledge that in the movie of like maybe who is as opposed to just she's pretty one dimensional in this movie.
Yes. There was apparently a scene where she and young Christina were like on the beach building a bonfire where she opened up to her daughter about like why she thought she was the way she was kind of stuff. But they didn't make it to the movie.
Yeah. And again, you think if it maybe if it was edited differently and you got that insight, then it would put other things into perspective in a different way. Right. Maybe.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then also maybe it wouldn't be if this was like a traditionally good movie, it might not be the classic it is today. You know what I mean? We've seen, we don't have a lack of good movies. We're good on good movies, but are there interesting and weird movies that are like, really, you'll never forget? Those are, I think, a lot more special than being boring and good.
Yeah, it's true that maybe it's like, just the dramatic.
That doesn't mean you're boring though.
Yeah.
It doesn't not mean it though.
It's just the drama, just the outbursts, just the meltdowns.
It's almost like if you're in the bookstore, just like leafing through to the juicy parts.
Right, yes. Right, right.
And so you don't have any of the context or anything. Yeah. You just know there's this one juicy part.
Yeah.
It's like the Oscar clips. It's nothing but that clip right when you're announced for your nomination.
Yeah.
She does have the fun monologue at the poolside, which is, I had to fight for everything. You know what I mean? That.
Yes.
She's got a ton.
There was the "You've Never Loved Me" to her daughter, and all the speeches to the "You're denying her wonderful life." You know, like there's all those. Yes. So there were a lot of dramatic speeches.
Don't fuck with me, fellas. Iconic.
Yes, absolutely. So she definitely made her moments, but I was like, I could have had more, truly.
I mean, are you ever going to be satisfied? No.
I know. And also during the punching, when the exercising,
the jogging, punching.
I'll show them like all those ramp up, like hype up moments for her. Yeah, okay, there's a lot. I'm going to say, just because I'm longing for the one big one, maybe I'll give it an 88.
88.
I'm going to go 93.
93. I'll do 92.
Oh,
giving an average of 91.
Went too low.
You're fine. All right, now, so the time has come for you to add a category that we can use to judge Mommy Dearest and future movies on how gay they are. Do you have anything in mind? It could also be a conversation. You don't need to, unless you have something.
We don't have anything with eyebrows, which as I was watching this movie, I was like, I really wish we had an eyebrow category for this.
Well. Now we're talking.
Do you like, what do you mean? Like statement eyebrows? Does that make a movie gayer?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you tell me. You tell me. But I would argue an eyebrow is very important. And I would argue that it is something that people do to reinvent themselves. So a statement eyebrow.
A statement eyebrow. I love it.
All right.
Yeah.
A statement eyebrow. And she's got them.
Oh boy. She's got those eyebrows got something to say. All right.
It just starts with the eyebrow. You hold on.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that would be the obvious choice. On that or a shoulder pad, because she always did that, but it's going to give her 100 because those are her two things, eyebrows and shoulder pads. So if we do statement eyebrow, I'm going to have to give her 100.
100.
I'm going 100 as well.
I mean, you have to. I'm also going to give it 100. Giving it 100. Yes. Very good. All right. Now we are into the bonus category.
So these categories we're rating from 0 to 10. And so this will just be a percentage bonus. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it doesn't penalize the movie, doesn't work against it. It's just extra points they could get.
Okay.
All right. So the first one on a scale of 0 to 10, how would you rate Mommy Dearest and Makeover Montage? I think the whole opening sequence.
That's what I was essentially.
Mm-hmm. I love just opening a little drawer in your bathroom. There's a giant bowl of ice.
Yes.
Like, who put that there? Who's like,
Carol Ann?
I guess Carol Ann, but oh my God.
Every morning. Mm. Wow.
Did you wish you had a Carol Ann in your life?
Yes.
Absolutely.
She was her most loyal friend.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's wrong with Carol Ann.
Yeah. Just watching all that abuse happen.
Pretty much an enabler, actually, Carol Ann. For
codependent.
Yeah. Yeah, dear. Okay.
So what do you want to, are there, I think that was really the only montage.
That's the only one I saw.
Yeah. Okay. So there's one solid. One very solid montage. So I think that's worth at least 40.
So a four?
So a four. We're 0 to 10.
Okay. A four.
A four.
I'll go two because it is kind of a makeover, but not fully, but yes.
What? She's going from bed to a makeup trailer. It's her morning routine. That's a makeover.
It's not your classic example of like, you're at the mall and girls just want to have fun.
But it's also, I think
dresses and all that fun stuff.
It isn't, but it's, I think this is at least a six.
Okay.
I'm giving it a six.
Yes.
Giving it a 4%. Tying it with Bride of Frankenstein. I mean, are there two parallels here we can make? Probably. All right. The next category, cheerworthy cameos. Any cheerworthy cameos? I only wrote down Priscilla Pointer. She is in like two scenes, but.
She's in two scenes. One that I saw was James Kirkwood, who you probably would know who he is. He played the MC later in the movie when Christina goes to accept the award. James Kirkwood is a playwright. He wrote Chorus Line and an author and wrote a lot of other stuff. So I was like, oh, it's James Kirkwood. I was like, oh, good for him.
There you go. What is he doing in this movie?
He was at one point going to write the screenplay, but then for some reason ended up not doing it.
Okay, well, I'll say then that's a three.
A three.
I'll give it a two.
Two, sorry, James playwright, Kirkwood. I'll give it a three, giving it a 2.67, tying it with Mean Girls. Okay. All right, I think you're gonna make up some points here. Pool trouble.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is there big any pool trouble? Big pool
big
trouble.
Pool scene. Big pool scene. Competing with her daughter in the swim race.
Not only are you older than your daughter, but like your daughter's been working out for like an hour. Of course, exhausted. You beat her.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of like, even the daughter coming in from the pool. There's a lot of pool vibes. Yeah. So
true.
Being locked in a pool house.
Right. That's trouble.
Is that pool trouble? I'd say this is pretty classic pool trouble.
Yeah. And I think that is like the first time that they really fight.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's like the first conflict between the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's out of 10, so seven.
Yep. A seven.
I'm going to go five.
Five?
I just feel like it's just that one part, really. Yes, it is big, but it's like it's not like throughout.
Gremlins only has the one part.
Yeah, but that like brings it into the third act. This is a different.
I mean, this starts the drama. I'm going to give it a seven, giving it a 6.33, which is the highest we've had since Death Becomes Her. Not bad.
Not bad.
All right. You might do well here, maybe, depending on your interpretation. Witches. How witchy is Mommy Dearest? She's not a classic. I mean,
there's no cauldron.
She's not weaving spells.
No eye of note.
She gives a bit of a evil stepmother vibe.
Definitely.
True. But I wouldn't know. I don't know how witchy that is. Even in any of her meltdowns, she wasn't doing any kind of incantations.
Not one.
Which could have easily happened.
If this was made, if for some reason someone remade Joan Mommy Dearest in 2021, whatever, she'd be like throwing crystals at her like daughter, I guess, now. Like,
right, yeah.
Yes. Overpriced blood crystals.
Yes. I need my energy. Yeah. I think she'll, but I do think the evil stepmom vibes are often synonymous with witchy characters and
yes.
Past. Mm-hmm. So I'll give her some points on that. So I'll give it a two.
A two.
Yeah, I'll also go two for that one.
I'm also gonna go two. Giving it an average of two. All right, next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. Well, I did my best to look up the guy who plays the funeral director. I got nothing. Inconclusive.
Yeah, same thing did with the designer in the scene.
What about the guy, the Chorus Line playwright? Was he straight?
Oh, he is gay. But was the MC gay part? I mean, I guess, yeah.
If he's the MC, is that's he playing something. Himself? Okay.
Okay, that's something.
He's a gay actor.
That's true. Playing a role.
Yeah, I don't himself. Think it's a 10 necessarily. I don't think it's a full 10%, but I mean, the real James Howlick?
Kirkwood?
Kirkwood. The real James Kirkwood never present an award. So he was acting.
Oh, yes, he would.
Yeah, so what do you want to give this for gay actors playing gay roles? We did a little gymnastics to get there. Yeah.
If he's a gay actor and he's playing himself, then maybe that counts on a technicality. So then what, one?
Sure, I'll give it a one as well. Why not?
Yeah. I'm also going to give it a one. Giving it a one, which is 1 point higher than Midsommar. Pretty good. All right, that got a zero. All right, next category. I think you're going to make up a lot of points here. Themes of mothers.
I mean, yeah. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
That's it. 10.
It's a 10.
It's a 10, absolutely.
Mothers as competition. Yeah. Also being jealous of your child who's just like emulating you just shows that you hate yourself on some level.
Right.
I think, yes, we weren't talking about these issues before. I mean, this is
never.
Some very complicated stuff to unpack.
I guess on John Waters is the commentary on the DVD, but he treats it. He says this shouldn't be a cult classic. He considers it like a serious drama. That's John Waters for you.
Yeah. Does anyone can look at something clear-eyed? It's John Waters.
It isn't like it's hard. I don't think you can come away from this like unmoved. You know what I mean? Like there is some real power to it on some unemotional power to it on some level. It's not something you just watch and like goof on. Like there's more meat to it than that for me. You can, but to me, there is like real, I don't know, there is some like real like vitriol. Like though no wire hanger scene is genuinely like scary at times. Like sure. It's not just goofy. So I mean in that regard, like there is like it's not just like, oh, this is silly.
I know. My mom watched it today and she was very upset by the hair cutting scene.
Sure.
She was like, This is too far. Too much.
I'm all for movies about abusive parents, but this is too far.
This is too much.
I condemn this woman.
I am drawing a line.
All right, this next category you might do well here too. I feel like dramatic smoking. I mean, I wrote it's like a third appendage. This is, even when like her boyfriend's like shaking her, she's still holding on to the cigarette.
Oh wow. Yeah. And again, there is a little bit of that, you know, sultry film noir vibes. Yeah. Okay. Like, I'm gonna give that.
It's like cigarette acting, I used to call it. Like people who like really make a meal out of like using the cigarette.
Right. It's a great prop.
But no one in real life ever smokes like that. It's only like movie smoking, but it's always very satisfying to watch.
Oh yeah. Well timed exhales.
Oh.
Yeah. Because this is kind of, she's one of the ones that's kind of her thing. So that's kind of maybe she's kind of one of the originators of that. So I'm going to give that a nine.
A nine.
Yeah, I'm going to go eight.
Yeah. If there was something, you know, if she like blew it in somebody's face or something at one point, maybe we give it a 10. Sure. But
someone caught on fire, maybe. Right.
Yeah. Nine.
I'm also going to give it a nine. Give it an average of 8.67%. All right. Next category. This is the last in the bonus category. Quips. How quippy is Mommy Dearest? I mean, if you want to just talk about memorable lines, this movie's like, definitely. I stopped writing them down. There's like so many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of like things like being charming at that time was like having like a one-liner to kind of like end like a conversation with or whatever, you know? Right.
Really buttons the scene.
Really, but yeah, she's buttoning every scene for sure. But most of them aren't funny. Like it's like sometimes they're dramatic, but they're definitely quips, right?
God, I hate this night.
I think my favorite one is, I should have known you'd know where to find the boys and the booze.
Yep.
Ooh, yeah, that's definitely good.
I am not one of your fans. Amazing. Yeah. I also like to say, I'm not mad at you. I hate the dirt. Ugh, so fucking.
It's weird. Yeah, tons and tons of one-liners, quotable lines or whatever. Yeah, I'll go ahead and, not ones like, not a funny kind of Mae West line. So so maybe then again, I'll say an eight.
An eight.
I will also say eight.
You know, I'm also going to say eight. Give it an average of eight. All right, now we are into the iconic category.
Okay, so now we're back to 0 to 100, and these are just the broader, more umbrella categories.
Wow, okay.
All right, so the first one, on a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate Mommy Dearest on homoeroticism? I mean, it's not a very sexy movie in any regard, thankfully.
Yeah, okay, we're going to have to go zero on that.
A zero, cold hard zero.
I'll give it a 3 just for that one shot of the first boyfriend in the towel.
In the show, Frank.
Oh, right, yeah, okay, Frank. Okay.
Who's apparently a human trafficker?
Because
how did he
get
the baby? I mean, that's what he did. He got her a baby through like a...
Oh, here's just a high-powered lawyer. It's called some
But
friends.
She was accused of human trafficking in her life for how she got this. Because, like, you know, it was illegal, essentially.
Yeah, she probably jumped through hoops. Okay, I forgot about the shower scene. I'd like to change my answer to 2.
2, all right.
Okay.
2, noted. I'll give it a 1. I mean, this is like giving an average of 2. Pathetic. All right. Our next category in the iconic category. What are you going to give Mommy Dearest on over-the-top wardrobe?
Yeah. I mean, we got ridiculous shoulders. Got evening gowns in the garden.
What's so crazy about that one too is that, like, that's not what she was wearing in the scene before when she got dropped. It's like she went home, changed into an evening gown, and then went out and destroyed her rose garden. It was just
absolutely unnecessary wardrobe all over the place. So I'm gonna give that one a 10.
Out of 100?
Back to 100. Oh, 100. Oh, yeah. No, back to 100. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to give that a 95.
Yeah, I'm going to go 95 as well, because it doesn't go out of reality. Like, it still is like the edge of reality, but it is right at the edge of it.
I'm going to also give it a 95. Give an average of 95. All right. Finally, the last of the iconic categories. On a scale of 0 to 100, how campy is Mommy Dearest?
It's. I mean, listen. I still sometimes struggle with the definition of camp, but I'm reading articles and they're talking about how camp it is. Yeah. So it's pretty.
You
camp.
Found the articles.
Yeah.
This is like.
What is the true definition of camp?
Who knows? It's like pornography. You know it when you see it.
You know it when you see it. Yeah.
Right. And Mommy Dearest is the deep throat of camp in that way.
Like, the effort isn't worth the text, in a way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the subject isn't worth the effort, or like, your intention really misses the mark.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to say, because I sort of agree that I do think that there is more heartfelt drama in this than just camp, and I'm sure there are campier movies. So I'm going to give it an 85.
An 85.
I will say one thing I noticed this time in the very beginning, in that opening montage, she's getting ready. That whole montage is obsessed with faucets. Like, there's so many shots of just like
a lot of fixtures,
the sink, a lot, you know, like the coffee.
Didn't you love that bathroom though? I wanted it so bad.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Who wouldn't love a shower that has 3 different heads coming at you? And there's that thing where she back and her hair just melts in the water like cotton candy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I think this is like. I don't think there is as much actual sincere moments in that you guys do. I think this is like 100. Like, I don't think you can.
I'm not saying sincere. I just mean like effective. You know what I mean? I'm not saying like, I just do think there is like true, like emotional, like it's not just laughing at it is what I mean. Like there are moments like, oh my God, this is like shocking and scary. To me, that makes it campier, you know, because it does have those real genuine moments. I'm also gonna give it 100. Here's my quick list. I should have said this before I gave the number. It's a little on the longer side, go figure. Wearing gloves to bed, using a TV tray in the backseat of your car, hanging a giant portrait of yourself in your living room, being mad at dirt, bad child actors, asking somebody who's already in a pool who wants to go swimming. Is being locked in the pool house that bad? Calling Louis B. Mayer LB, throwing a drink at someone's face, Faye Dunaway saying, "I'm not acting," in the hammiest way possible, on-screen babies who are clearly looking at the camera crew, a little child ruminating, if she doesn't like you, she can make you disappear. Christina Crawford's role playing with her dolls is a little on the nose, so maybe she deserved to lose them. Nightmare marriage landscaping, telling a child they're making your mother take a screen test like she might have cancer, a little girl taking in the wreckage of her life and saying, Jesus Christ, playing Antigone in jeans with a country accent, Christina never saw her mother drunk before, accusing someone of underreacting, writing your cover story on Joan Crawford for Redbook in her dining room and catching her and Christina in a big messy fight, marrying the soft drink king only to end up calling PepsiCo a lousy company, Christina's shell-shocked reaction to her mother standing in for her on the soap, and finally using a trashy tell-all as catharsis and or revenge. So I'm giving
wow it- yeah, okay, you know what, I gotta up my score. I gotta give it at least an I don't want to cheat now that I know you gave it 100. Okay, so cheating. I'll give it a 90. Okay, I'm gonna give it 100.
All right, giving it 100, tying it with Bride of Frankenstein. I think this all makes sense. I mean, the true universal monster, true. Joan Crawford. Is there better? All right, finally, we're into the crown jewel.
So these categories, we all agree or we don't agree. There's no rating, there's no scoring. It's just yes or no. We think it gets it or not.
Okay.
All right, so the first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Well, there is that one guy presenting an award.
He seemed very professional. I'm sure he showed up on time. I'm sure he's very nice to everyone backstage.
No, he wasn't groping men's crotches or anything. But I don't think we can.
No, I don't think so either.
Me personally.
No.
It is surprising how like there's no homosexual characters in a movie about Hollywood. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, because I'm sure she must have had a lover or something in there that at some point that right. could have been included or something. So I'll say no.
Fair enough. It does again. And then finally, negative 50% if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not be penalized 50% of its points.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it. And that's we are at the end. We are done. Any predictions on where
now, how do you think you did?
Yeah. How do you
much
think
much better? I gave it
better than the 75
guess.
You gave it?
Yes.
Do you want to guess now right, where you
well,
think
let
it
me
is?
Tell you.
Do you think it made the top five?
You know what? I think it could be pretty up there. I definitely think it's in the high 80s.
Well, I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,597.33 points, Mommy Dearest has scored 1,997.33, giving it a percentage of 76.90, making it the 10th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Terms of Endearment, but gayer than Mommy, Funny Girl.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think the lack of horniness and the lack of any homoeroticism.
I think that, and also
really
the fact that
it.
I got How Korean really. On the wheel. I don't think the wheel was as
that
grand
doesn't help
in that instance.
The wheel was not, you know.
So that's close.
That's
to,
all these
close to my original guess, though.
That is very close to your original guess.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. I feel good about
I think that.
That
makes the lack of like male skin, you know, of
true.
Actual like.
Yeah.
I think was really, you know, you can't just be camp and look.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, camp looks and mommy stuff, it's got it in the bag. Yeah,
but I do think it is still an essential
100%
yeah. that everybody yeah. should see.
Yeah, there we go. Wow.
Well, Anessa, you did it. Thank you so much for
such
doing this. Thank you for coming on and bringing in a great movie.
This was such
is
a blast.
Is there anything you like to plug? Anything you want to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
I mean, well, you could watch The Amazing Gail Pyle on Amazon Prime or CBC Gem if you're in Canada. And I got an album out on like Spotify and iTunes called Help
what?
Me,
what?
Help Me. Yes.
What?
Yes, I have a stand-up comedy album on there.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Now you tell
there
me.
There you are, yeah.
Everybody check that out. You're a true legend.
Such a treat.
So excited to have you on. Thank you for being here.
Oh, this was a blast.
And we'll be right back.
We're back.
Wow. Did you think Mommy Dearest is going to do better?
I did think it was going to do better. I thought it was going to score a little higher than that, because there are other movies that are higher than it that don't have the sort of like homoerotic elements to them. And especially since Mommy Dearest is hit so hard in the campy stuff, I'd expect it to do better. But
looking into.
But it's still
Terms of Endearment has a 76.91 and Mommy Dearest has a 76.90.
Ooh,
so it's
wow.
razor thin.
Really, really close there.
And all these movies, and then like Stars Born, Strictly Ballroom, Grease 2 are all within like 2-3 points of each other.
Gotcha.
So you know what I mean?
Splitting hairs, yeah.
We're really, I mean, that's when the wheel, there's little the chance wheel. Of, you know, what's a little more queer than randomness? Nothing.
Nothing. Not a goddamn thing. So we've got some fun reviews here we're going to share with you. We got one on iTunes from Eddie TBT. They write, "Wonderful Macabre, 5 stars. Please listen to this podcast. The hosts are a delight to listen to and so fun, and every single guest is equally as divine. For anyone with any reservations, they do give a recap of the movies at the top of every episode, so even if you haven't seen the movie, you can follow along. Definitely listen, and if I may be so bold, I think someone should recommend Steel Magnolias."
I love Steel Magnolias.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That would probably do very well.
Yeah. No homoeroticism.
That's true.
Is it that camp? It's a little campy. It'd probably be like a 60%, I would think.
You think? I don't know. I mean, after
Gay
Mommy
Icons,
Dearest,
it would do well.
Gay Icons, I think Quips, I think it's up there because there's a lot of real fun, quippy stuff in Steel Magnolias. It's super quotable.
Sure. Absolutely. But homoeroticism and the clothes, are they that crazy? Not really.
Wigs?
They're pretty, I don't know. I mean, Dolly, right?
Yeah. All she wears is wigs.
All she wears is wigs.
So I've heard.
So I've heard. In parentheses. Have you ever heard that song? Has there ever been a musical called Gossip?
I don't know if there's been a musical called Gossip. No, but there was Seems a musical like, made of Sweet Smell Success that had a song called Dirt, not Gossip in it, but yeah.
Ah. Fun?
I didn't see it. It seemed kind of meh. It starred Jonathan Lithgow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. We also have an email from Nicholas, and their email says, "The Cannon Group says, hey queens, you guys are the best. I've been listening since the beginning. Pitching a quick idea for the Patreon, a mini series determining the gayest film made by the Cannon Group. They made like a zillion movies, so you'd have to pick a handful to start, but the delirious 80s weirdness, bizarre choices, unintentional camp, and frequent male shirtlessness would make for a great run of podcasts. I feel like this would be totally in Mark's wheelhouse, and you could bring in Action Boys Gabers to consult. Take care, keep up the good work, Nick." Yeah, you started nodding immediately once that suggestion.
Well, yeah, there's an amazing documentary called Electric Boogaloo that is about the history of the Cannon Film Group that I can't recommend highly enough.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Cannon Group is amazing. I believe that's also they're behind the Apple. Like Golan Globus, those two guys ended up, he directed the Apple. And then I don't know. Yeah, the Apple is considered a Cannon film.
Okay, well, great. Yeah.
And our friend Frank Garcia Hage, I'd never know Hale. How to say his last name. Hale.
Hale.
So sorry, Frank. He actually has a podcast that is strictly devoted to the Cannon film.
Mm-hmm.
I love 80s schlock. I mean, what else can you call them?
Then, Nick, we might be taking up on your idea. It seems like this idea has legs.
I'm so glad people know things that are in my wheelhouse. That's so flattering. I don't know why I'm flattered by that, but I am. Is that bad? I don't know.
No, people, they have a sense of you. They know what you like. They know what you're about. They know how to please you. They've spent enough time.
Please
if you are not a subscriber to our Patreon, you can go on over to Patreon. It's called Two Queens, The Retirement Plan. Right now we're going through the movies of Stephen Sondheim, but we've got a lot of fun series we've gone through, which you can access there. It's only $5 a month. Or if you want to just support the podcast, you can subscribe for just $1 a month. Because this podcast, as you know, we have no ads. So it's all just for fun. And it's we do
just
it for
fun.
You. Just for fun.
Yeah, and you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @2oldqueens, @TWOldQueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current rankings.
Yes, or you can email us at @2oldqueens, @TWOldQueens @gmail.com. Let us know if you have any ideas, any thoughts. If you think we got something wrong, if we messed something up, let us know. Also, please, if you do get a chance to rate, review, give us 5 stars on iTunes. It really helps the algorithm, helps people find the show, and we really appreciate that. And finally, we've got merch. If you want more of this in your life in sort of tote bag or magnet form, go over to TeePublic, search for the Two Queens store, and we've got a lot of great stuff there that you can buy for yourself or for loved ones.
Yeah, and that's it. We'll see you next. We don't know what we're doing next week.
We're
so
doing
just
next
stay
week.
Tuned. You'll be fine. It'll be fine.
You'll be okay, guys.
You'll be okay.
There's other things to worry about, I think, probably right now, but hopefully
one or two.
All
right, everybody, stay safe. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.